In addition to my academic work at Catholic University, on occasion I'm invited to offer workshops and addresses to dioceses, to pastoral ministers, and to priests. Invariably, I come away very impressed with their energy and enthusiasm, and also I'm concerned very often about burnout. I've thought more than once, I'd like to give them all a bumper sticker, and it would be John 1:20, which says, "I am not the Messiah." In preparation for the coming of the divine Messiah this Christmas, once again the Advent liturgy reintroduces us to John the Baptist. There was one Messiah, and frankly, there was one John the Baptist, because he was so challenging, I'm not quite sure we could do with more than one. He gets our attention, he asks uncomfortable questions, and he wants us to establish a relationship with God and each other that goes beyond the externals, that's abiding, satisfying, deep, and real. That's the subtext of the dialogue that's going on about being children of Abraham. Because Pharisees and Sadducees, the leaders of the law, did not want to hear John because he wanted something new. And they wanted to stay in their comfortable cocoon of those who dispensed the law with opinions. They wanted nothing radically new, no repentance. They wanted to stay as things were. And what does John say? You're going to trim that away. Like any good gardener, you trim the tree to get better growth next year. But they wanted no growth. They wanted to live happily ever after. And John wouldn't let them. To me, that sounds like Pope Francis. Every single day that man preaches, there is something in that homily that I say to myself, he wants nothing less than a total conversion. And yet he does that in the year of mercy, with gentleness, compassion, and invitation always. Nothing grim about this Pope is that we take away what harms us from being our best selves so we can have a relationship with God and with each other in mercy. His signature theme. We've just finished last week, but as he said in Rome, the doors of mercy never close. Now, you'd not be surprised that there are some in the Vatican and outside who are not happy with Francis' leadership. They're not happy. They're like the Pharisees and Sadducees. They want it the old ways. And the Pope says, "We're moving forward. Come with us," with a smile. He addressed the issue of marriage and family life. There were two synods about that 2 Octobers ago. Issued a document last April about the joy of love. But in that document, he added something that didn't make some of the cardinals and bishops happy. He opened the door for accompaniment, for conscience, for welcoming divorced and remarried, and saying, "You all belong. Let's shake out and see how you belong. And let's do this together in discernment and prayer and compassion." Now, frankly, I was rather taken with that because I was not raised in a Hallmark Christmas special family. And my family did not read Mary Higgins Clark novels. Somewhat grim sometimes, but that's family. Think about your Thanksgiving table this year. Who was there? Who was not there? Why were they not there? And in our families, are there issues about family life and spouses separating, divorcing that need to be addressed? Now, the Pope does not want to say the divorce and hookup culture is fine. He's not saying that. He's not saying either serial monogamy is good. He's not saying that. But when there's abuse, infidelity, lying, cheating, then maybe the marriage is dead, and we have to move forward. That's made a couple of cardinals pretty upset. In fact, there were four of them who wrote the Pope a letter in September and didn't get an answer. They're furious at the Pope. They want to settle this with a cookie-cutter, once-and-for-all answer. And the Pope says, that's not life, and that's not the gospel. We want to accompany, not leave people isolated, and help them find their place after a divorce and after remarriage. Cardinals, when they're made cardinals, say the following prayer. I promise and swear to remain faithful to Christ and His gospel, obedient to the Holy Roman Catholic Church, to Blessed Peter in the person of the Supreme Pontiff. I don't think four cardinals are acting that way. But it may well be that sometimes we have the same impression. We want to live comfortably, happily ever after. We have all the answers. And that's simply not right. Because when it's all over, you and I will be judged on how we love God in the poor, in the abandoned, in the naked, and those in prison. We'll all be judged. As you well know, medieval cathedrals are places were made of glass and stones, and those statues told the faith, as statues here do. The Cathedral of Chartres in France, outside of Paris, over the main altar is a depiction of the Last Judgment in Matthew's Gospel. And what you see are angels going off into paradise, and you see angels taking people down to damnation. And what you have on those going off to salvation are a carpenter, a baker, a bishop, a monk, and a nun. And going to damnation are a carpenter, a baker, a bishop, a monk, and a nun. We'll all be judged. The issue is not what we were in this life, but how we live this life, in fidelity as much as we can, and in God's mercy. And that's what God asks of us through Pope Francis. One more time we come tonight to hear a gospel about repentance. Repentance perhaps of more prayer, perhaps of less judgment, less gossiping. And the God of encouragement might take over. And that real relationships can be forged, not by facades, not by what looks good, but what holds us together is the mercy and love of Christ, given to us at this altar in self-sacrificing love one more time. John the Baptist was relentless, and one was plenty. Pope Francis is relentless, and we're glad to have him. When the Pope drives around the Vatican in Rome, he's driven in a Fiat. I don't think he would mind having a bumper sticker that said John 1:20. Even I am not the Messiah.